Hi there, this is James Swanick, and you're listening to the Swanick Podcast.
I am James Swanick, and welcome to another Swanick Live. And today we are joined by Jodel Fitzwater, who is a nutrition educator and a lover of all things health, fitness, nutrition. And she's a pro stand-up paddle athlete, which we're going to learn about in a second. She's a big Swannies glasses enthusiast, along with her daughter, who are always posing with their Swannies on, which we appreciate very much. And we're going to be talking about sleep. We're going to be talking about coffee, the benefits, maybe potential cons of coffee I'd like to get into as well, if there are any. Stand-up paddle, paddle boarding. I'd love to know a little bit more about that. And just, you know, what time Jodel gets to sleep and how she perfects her sleep, what time she wakes up and how she lives a healthy, holistic life. So, Jodel, welcome to the show. Great to have you here.
James, I'm so honored that you asked me on your podcast. So yeah, I really value the blog post you guys put out about sleep. And so it's fun to see people out there putting out the truth about sleep and not just, you know, like make sure you get 7 to 8 hours. Well, how are they going to do that? And you guys put really good posts out about that. So
thank you. Appreciate it. When you said the truth about sleep, what are some of the untruths or the things that people get wrong about sleep that you see in the media quite often?
Yeah, great question. Because as a nutritionist, that's 70% of one of the issues that people come see me with are sleep-related issues. So I'm a big proponent of getting their circadian rhythm right. And that starts with, you know, dimming that blue light that our environments are so toxic with. But also, I really value the bio-individuality of sleep. Like the mainstream will say 7 to 8 hours, but yet I have clients, some of them need 9 to 10 hours. And then I have other clients that can get by on 7. So it's really individual. And I think that's one of the myths. The other myths is that you can run on less sleep, like 3 to 4 hours. And just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should, because we really want to optimize our health, and our health overall starts with sleep.
Yeah. What time do you get to sleep each night? And what time do you wake up in the morning?
Yeah. And it wasn't always this way. It wasn't until I had a lot of health issues that I decided I wanted to go to bed kind of with the sun and wake with the sun. So I go to bed typically around 8:30, and 9 is my max. If I'm up after 9, it's because there's some sort of an emergency or something. So I'm not invited to a lot of dinner parties or anything like that. But, and then I get up.
Usually. I wonder you're taking my late night calls.
Yeah, that's the only reason. That's exactly right. I see the time and I'm like, oh, so after my bedtime. So yeah, then about 5 o'clock is usually my wake up time in the morning.
Got it. Okay. So if you're going to bed around 8:30, you're getting up at 5. So that, you know, you're sleeping a good 8.5 hours, right? Like 8.5 hours.
Yeah.
And how is the quality of your sleep?
You know, it wasn't always great. I've been in the fitness industry for about 20 years, and the first probably decade of my career, I thought like many people, oh, I can get by on 5 or 6 hours. I'll be fine. I'll just pound a lot of caffeine and energy drinks the next day at the gym and I'll be fine. And I was fine for about 5 years. And then my health started to suffer and I started to develop adrenal issues and thyroid issues. And I lost my fertility and all of that. So it was a big eye opener for me about how important not just eating right and exercising is, but also getting your optimization of your circadian rhythm right, which is very off for many people. So, but yeah, I feel like it's kind of misinterpreted, because in our environment, if you can get a lot done and you're this person that's go, 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 and you're burning the candle at both ends, that's supposed to be the right way to live. And actually less is more when it comes to your health. So I had to learn that the hard way, but now I've dialed it back to where I really see the benefits, and the quality of my sleep is much better now. I still have nights where I struggle, but I've figured out what that is. It's still residual adrenal issues that are going on, and I'm finding ways to slowly heal that. The adrenals take the longest to heal. So you really have to be patient when it comes to sleep if you are working on yourself. And know that it is going to happen, and those little bitty bits of progress along the way are telltale signs.
Hi there, this is James Swanick, and you're listening to the Swanick Podcast.
How did you do damage to your adrenals?
I was an athlete, as you said. I was a paddle athlete, and I was also teaching about 15 classes a week at a local gym, and I was a personal trainer. So I was doing my own running. I would run sometimes 8 miles a day, plus I would do like 3 to 4 classes a day of teaching weight training classes and kickboxing classes. And then I'd paddle a lot because I was a sponsored ambassador with BIC SUP, which is a stand-up paddle company. And so they would send me all over the country to give paddle demonstrations and go to expos and stuff like that. So I was really overdoing it on my exercise and my fitness. And so when you put your body in this state of high adrenaline and high cortisol, you do have a lot of energy to run on, but it's not really clean energy. It's kind of like putting really bad gas in your car. It'll go, but it's going to sputter along the way. And so that's what was happening over time. It was just like I was doing too much. And so my body just started giving out. You can only put out so much adrenaline and cortisol for so long until your body's like, all right, I fold, white flag, I can't do this anymore. So that's really what did it for me. It was about 5 years into that my thyroid tanked and my adrenals gave out. And I noticed that by my sleep. When I tried to sleep longer, it wasn't coming. Like I could sleep for 5 hours, but if I tried to sleep longer than that, it was like I couldn't go to sleep. I couldn't stay asleep. So I couldn't repair even.
Does that suggest that someone can overtrain? Like, I mean, it sounds like you were doing a lot. You were coaching and you were exercising, you were running and you were paddleboarding, you're doing all these kind of things. Let's compare that type of scenario to someone like me who goes to the gym for about a 45-minute weight session a few times a week and then does a couple of high intensities and then one gentle run during the week. And then, you know, I take 1 or 2 days off. Is what I just described for myself, is that possibly fatiguing or burning out my adrenals, or does that sound something like would be okay?
James, what you're saying sounds very balanced because, again, you're putting your body in a state of movement every day, but not excessive. And it, like you said, you use the word a gentle run. That's what people should be doing. The human body, when it goes for a run and it's all out effort, you're telling yourself, well, the only reason the human should be running is to run from something, you know, so while we're not necessarily running from prey as we would in hunter-gatherer days, we could still be going for a run to like calm this anxiousness that we feel. A lot of people go for a run to calm down the anxiety that they feel. And so they're running from something. They're still running from that anxious feeling because it calms them down in a weird way. And so that's not, you know, not to say that running's wrong or bad, but I did it for many years and it only served to harm me. It didn't help me. Now, a gentle run, that's something else, because if you can, you know, I kind of teach my clients, if you can nasal breathe while you're running, you're doing something right, because you should be able to keep a calm nervous system and be able to breathe through your nose while you're running. If you're doing a mouth breathing, it's stressing your body. So yeah, what you're doing sounds balanced, but how people know if they're overtraining is, number one, your sleep will suffer and you won't know why. You'll have trouble going to sleep, trouble falling, staying asleep. Maybe you're waking up frequently to pee. We really shouldn't be doing that. And then also your body will give you signals such as being wired but tired. So you have like this energy that you could run on all day, which is called adrenaline. but you're also very fatigued, where you feel like you could take a nap at any point in the day. But if you did try to lay down, such as at night when you go to bed, you can't go to sleep. So that's true for many people that are kind of doing too much. And doing too much doesn't have to just be physical training. A lot of people are stressed in their thinking. They have too many jobs going on. They have too many irons in the fire. They don't know when to say no. And that can also elevate adrenaline, even without running and without overtraining, to where it's going to be hard to shut down.
Yeah. Hi there, this is James Swanick, and you're listening to the Swanick Podcast.
We're talking to Jodelle Fitzwater, who is an educator and lover of all things health, fitness, nutrition. She's a pro stand-up paddle athlete and a certified functional nutritional therapy practitioner and a food psychology coach, a paddle fit pro trainer, lifestyle coach, and a certified personal trainer with over 20 years experience in the health and fitness industry. You can learn more over at getfitwithjodelle.com, getfitwithjodelle.com. Jodelle, you mentioned coffee before. I'd love to talk about this. I've had a on-again, off-again relationship with coffee. I didn't drink coffee for the first 35 years of my life. Didn't even have a drop. Was never interested. And then I temporarily lived in Colombia, and where they had wonderful coffee, and I started drinking coffee. And then I got into coffee, and then I tried bulletproof coffee, where I put a stick of grass-fed butter and some MCT oil in my coffee. I loved the taste of that for a while, and then after a while, I found myself feeling quite agitated throughout the day. Whereas initially, I enjoyed the taste and the ceremony and the ritual of the morning cup. I found myself late morning, kind of early afternoon, still feeling a bit irritated and agitated, and I reluctantly stopped. And then since then, I've kind of gone on again, off again. So I go on for that 3 months where I drink coffee, and then I stop for 3 months, and then I might start again for a month, and then I'll go 4 months off. But the only reason I ever stop is because for me, it gets to a point where I start to depend on it. I feel myself depending on it, and I start to feel myself getting agitated and irritated about 3 or 4 hours after I have the coffee. Having said that, it sounds like you're about to sing the praises and the nutritional benefits or whatever of coffee. So I'm just curious what your thoughts are on coffee in general for people, and what, you know, guidance you may have for me in the scenario that I just presented.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're alone in that. I've heard other people say that as well. Like, it starts off well enough, the relationship, but then it gets out of hand because, you know, we tend to be creatures that go after more and more and more. Like, one cup, it turns into five cups or what have you. But then also, if you are already a person that has good energy, you already run on a lot of adrenaline, coffee does elevate adrenaline. And it does stimulate your adrenals. So if somebody's already amped up, it can irritate them or agitate their system to have more adrenaline. So that feeling that you were talking about is actually a feeling of excess adrenaline pumping through your system. And that's kind of irritating to the nervous system. So you were probably listening to your body and dialing it back when that happened. And then you felt reprieve for a while. But the taste of coffee is what gets me. Like, it's that taste, you know, it's just a beautiful taste. And that's why I'm kind of a coffee junkie too. But I have to keep mine in check too, because I can easily go out of hand. I don't use it for energy, probably like yourself. I use it just for the taste of it, just having that warm cup of mud in the morning. But what I would have to do is I use a Swiss water process decaf. Regular decafs are decaffeinated through a formaldehyde process. So if you can find a good Swiss water process, maybe you can mix it with your favorite Colombian coffee that you have and just do a little half calf, to where you're just cutting down on the caffeine to avoid that overstimulation. So I kind of go that route. And then once a year, I do like a 10-day to 14-day coffee fast where I won't have coffee. And it kind of resets my caffeine level, if you will. So I can go through a couple of days of like a headache because we just don't know how dependent we get on the caffeine. But then after that, it's like I get to the end of the 10 or the 14 days, depending on how long I did it. And I go, you know, I don't really have to have it. I don't really need it. But eventually, because of the taste and because of our environment and everybody's drinking coffee around you, you go back into it. So yes, coffee has some amazing benefits. It actually has magnesium, which can be calming to certain individuals that are low in magnesium. But too much caffeine can amp up a nervous system, which causes you to throw out magnesium. So it's this fine balance of like getting just the right amount to get your fix without overdoing it. Kind of like the training.
I read somewhere that if you can, you should delay having your first cup of coffee by about an hour in the morning, because when we wake up in the morning, our cortisol levels are very high. Mm-hmm. And caffeine has been found to keep cortisol levels elevated for longer. Mm-hmm. Were you aware of that, or is that your understanding?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it's the cortisol and the adrenaline are kind of go hand in hand as your ultimate like stress-inducing response hormones. And so, yeah, caffeine can overstimulate that to where, like I said, if you're already amped up in the morning, chances are you want to do more of that Swiss water process decaf just for the taste without all the caffeine. But yeah, if I like the idea of delaying it a little bit, maybe you wait until you really, really feel the need for just a little pick me up, or you're just waiting for that taste a little later in the day. I always recommend people start with water though, first thing, no matter what, how much coffee I drink, I always start with what they call your inner bath. You know, we always take our outer bath, but that water first thing in the morning after you've been dehydrated all night sleeping, that's the really key thing. Don't just jump right into a diuretic, something like coffee that pulls water more out of your system. You want to get some water in before you drink that coffee.
Yeah. I've actually got into a routine now where I drink bicarb, which is a kind of like a baking soda. It's pretty nasty to drink, quite frankly. It tastes like you're drinking salt water first thing in the morning. And just before I drink it, I have to kind of like psych myself up for it for about 5 seconds. And I kind of breathe in and breathe out because the taste is kind of nasty. And our listeners might be thinking, well, why the hell do you drink it? Well, not to get into too much graphic detail, but it really cleans you out. Like I have that bicarb, and within 15, 20 minutes, I'm needing to use the bathroom at least a couple times over the course of 20 minutes or so. And again, it doesn't sound that pleasant, but I'll tell you this, like it really flushes the body of toxins, like any toxins or nastiness that I have in there. It's just, you know, what I understand from reading the literature is that toxins and nastiness and, you know, acidity latch on to this baking soda. And then when it comes out of you, it, you know, it literally just flushes all of that, those toxins and acidity out of you. Is that your understanding as well? Are you familiar with this?
Yeah, actually, I used to do, after a run, I used to do sodium bicarbonate with a little bit of apple cider vinegar and water. So it'd make it kind of fizzy, almost like an Alka-Seltzer kind of thing. And that's really good to replenish like a little bit of electrolytes into your body after a run. So actually the benefits of doing some sort of a sea salt or a sodium bicarb, like with your water, actually gets water more into the cell. I know a lot of people that drink water all day and then they're peeing all day too. So it's like, they're not really keeping hydrated. They'll go and get their blood work and their bun creatinine ratio is way off or something, showing that they're chronically dehydrated, but they drink all this water. So something like what you're talking about, or taking in a pinch of sea salt and tossing that back before you drink your water, can really ensure that you have minerals to take the water into the cell.
Mm. We have a lot of Celtic sea salt in our place that we put on food, but I must admit I haven't been taking it with water. So before I drink a glass or glasses of water, you'd suggest just like putting it in the water, or actually just throwing it in my mouth?
You could do either, but from what my understanding is, actually there's a naturopath out of Australia that I learned this little trick from. Her name is Barb O'Neill. I don't know if you've heard of her, but she's out of Australia too. And she's all over YouTube. She's kind of a cool sensation. But anyway, she recommends taking a pinch of that Celtic sea salt and just putting it under your tongue, because we have a lingual neural system in our mouth. And I actually learned this in my NTP training too, where your mouth will tell the cells of your body what's about to come in so that the cells will open up and receive. So it's taking in that sea salt, just kind of that salty taste on your mouth. It actually tells your cells, hey, we have minerals coming in. So open up because we're about to get hydrated and we're about to get some minerals that we need. So,
Great. Thank you for that. Appreciate that.
Hi there, this is James Swanick, and you're listening to the Swanick Podcast.
Just before we get into sleep, also, if you want to listen to Jodel's podcast, there's a podcast named Get Fit with Jodel. It's on YouTube and on iTunes, and Jodel interviews all kinds of leading researchers and doctors and experts on health, nutrition, lifestyle, and movement. So tell us a little bit about being a paddle athlete, a stand-up paddle athlete. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, it's my escape from reality, especially right now in the world with all we're dealing with. You know, nature doesn't require you to wear a mask, and the water doesn't require you to wear a mask. It's a freedom, like, when you're out on the water, there's just this peace, and nature and water is so therapeutic to the human body. And so I think I discovered that because in the midst of all that chaos in my life I was talking about earlier, I found stand-up paddle boarding. And when I did, I was like, this is what I need. I need water therapy every day. So I just started paddling. I was like the only person on my lake that was doing it when it first came out. And then since then, I've gone on to learn how to teach it to others as a personal trainer and take their workouts to the water. And then I traveled kind of around and trained new instructors and was able to do some fun things with REI and do some like outdoor classes on the water and teach kind of big groups of ladies to come out and take their body to the water, where your board is the machine and your body doesn't need any equipment. It just needs movement on top of the water and doing body weight exercises or stretching. Here where I live, I do some special tours called Sup in a Cup, where we will paddle to a local cafe that's on our lake and we'll have breakfast and then we'll paddle back. So it's kind of like a destination paddle. Everybody loves that because coffee and stand-up paddle boarding really go well together.
I love that. Fantastic. And has your daughter followed you in your footsteps? You have a 5-year-old. I would imagine she's a bit young so far, but is she interested in the paddle boarding?
She is. She has her own. And just last year when she was 4, she learned how to like paddle without me attached to her. So I used to attach her leash to my ankle so she couldn't, like, the wind couldn't take her away. But last year when she was 4, she paddled for the first time, like, all on her own, just next to me. So it was fun to see that.
Oh, wonderful. Let's just turn our attention to sleep for a moment. Obviously, you're wear the Swanee's glasses at nighttime and daytime. Why don't you just describe your Swanee's habits for us?
Oh, wow. That's a great question, because when I was researching sleep and I was kind of understanding how blue light affects the body, I came across the need for something after the sun went down. I was like, there's got to be something that will help me block, you know, the light in my home or the TV or my phone. And then I came across Swanee's and I was just like, oh, well, they're kind of cute too, because I can wear them around. And I think I first found you guys at PaleoFX, and that's where we kind of connected. And that was several years back. But immediately, and I have another story I'm going to tell you about a client too, but immediately the very first night I wore them, it, like, my sleep was like at least 50% improved. Like, I'd been doing all these things, you know, I had my whole supplement regimen in front of me where I had to take all these pills in order to go to sleep. Cause again, I was still healing my adrenals. I'm taking all this stuff. And then that night, like at PaleoFX, I like wore them that night. And then that I was like 50% better. And then over the next 2 weeks, I eliminated all my supplements. Like, I went from having this whole countertop full of sleep supplements to just wearing my Swanee's. So, and my brother did the same thing. He had sleep issues as well. But the neatest thing I've heard recently, because I have, it's mandatory when you come have a consult with me, I'm going to work on your circadian rhythm. And 99% of my clients, I'm like, well, you have to get these glasses so that you can still do your nighttime routine. But yeah, we're going to make you a little more sleepy. So I have a client that was very difficult to get her off of sleep medication. So she'd been on this Lunesta, I'm sure you've heard of that, sleep medication for years and years and years, probably like 6 years. And nothing, she'd tried everything. Nothing would get her off of the need for, like, to, in order to sleep, she had to take the pill. And then finally, after egging her on about the glasses, she's like, okay, I'll try it. And so I gave her a pair of mine and I said, just, you don't even have to buy them yet. Just try mine. And like within the first few nights, she was like, I am sleeping so much better. And then she just tried it. One night she just didn't take her Lunesta and she found that she didn't need it. As long as she put the glasses on when the sun went down, as soon as the sun went down, she was able to completely go off her Lunesta and she no longer relies on it at all. And she swears by the glasses. And so, yeah, that was one of the coolest stories, is she was really wanting to get off of that. And just by putting glasses on, she was able to go off of it.
Incredible. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so wonderful to hear those kind of stories, isn't it? So someone's life can be completely transformed by something so simple but effective.
That's really what it is. I mean, if you can get someone sleeping well, imagine the possibilities of their life, because we all know the nights that we haven't slept well, how we feel the next day. We don't give good output at work. We're yelling at our family members, you know, we're getting in traffic and being agitated and irritated. But when you sleep well, it's like the clouds are beautiful and your family's beautiful and everything you do is working well. So, I mean, you really do change people's lives, James, with just by creating glasses. I mean, it sounds simple, but it's something that does affect people on a wellness level. So that's a beautiful thing.
Thank you. And your five-year-old daughter, are you instilling good sleep practices in her? Does she wear a pair of Swannies? Is it challenging to get her to wear a pair? Is it easy? Is it now part of her routine? Like how have you introduced both Swannies, blue light blocking glasses, and, you know, sound sleep practices into her life?
Sure. Yeah, she's very impressionable, because when I explain things to her, I'm not one of the, I always told myself I wouldn't be like what my mom was, who's just said, because I said so. Like when you ask me to do something, it's because I said so. But no, with her, I try to explain everything. So I'll say, you know, mommy's going to put on these glasses because I want to be able to sleep really good. So I'm a nice mommy tomorrow and I'm not yelling at you, or, you know, getting on to you for no reason or whatever. And so I'll explain that to her and say, you know, if you wear these, you'll have more energy to play. You'll go outside and it'll be a happy day, or you'll get your schoolwork done because we homeschool, and you'll feel good doing it. You won't be sleepy. And so I think if you explain it to the kids and, you know, let them explore it a little bit, just put the glasses on the table. And then number one, be the example, wear them. As soon as the sun goes down, you put them on. And then it's easy for the kids to also follow suit, because they're going to see you and they're going to, well, I want to do that. So yeah, it was not hard for me at all, because I took the time to explain to her how they would help her. And then I also imitated that for her to see. And now after the sun goes down, she's like, where's my blue blockers? And like, we can't go anywhere without them. In fact, one night we were going to a meeting that was late and we forgot them, and she got there and she's like, but what about my circadian rhythm? So like, she's as most kids are, very impressionable if you take the time to explain things.
Hi there, this is James Swanick and you're listening to the Swanick Podcast.
I love that. How do you balance other areas of your life? Like, how do you find the right balance between work, between play, between being a mother, getting great night's sleep, being intentional, feeling calm? Like, just, you know, what's the approach that you take to bring all of those elements together?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, because I wasn't always that way. Like I said, there was a time in my life when I would consider myself very unbalanced. And I would say that my health issues actually were the best thing that happened to me, because it forced me to look at my life and go, okay, I'm way out of balance, way too many irons in the fire, and way too many like things that I think I should be doing that are really not necessary. So I think when we, especially in this time in the world, the way things are going, if we just kind of take a step back and be okay with saying no to some things, and then also making a list of maybe the four most important things that are a priority in your life, you know, your family, maybe your spirituality, your how you affect the world through your career, and then also your health, because you can't do any of those three without your health in check, you know. So if it's something like that, then you can really go, okay, if it doesn't fit into any of these four things, then I really need to eliminate it. And then be honest and tell people that you love, I'm not doing this, I'm not letting go of these things to hurt anyone or to cause problems, but I want to be the best I can for all of you, whether it's your coworkers or your family or whatever. And that way you can find balance, because that's what we're all looking for anyway. We're all looking for a balanced approach with nutrition, a balanced approach with our workouts, a balanced approach in our work life. And I think when you prioritize what of those in your life are the things you want to do, instead of doing all these random workouts, dial in the one that makes you the happiest, because you shouldn't be doing anything else that stresses you anyway. You know, and if it's, instead of trying all these different diets and dogmas that are out there about nutrition, eat the foods that love you back. If you're eating a food and it makes you feel bloated, then don't eat it. Your body doesn't need that food. So you wouldn't be in a relationship with someone that doesn't love you back. So don't eat any foods that don't love you back, right? So, and then ask your family, what do you need more of me? You know, where am I slacking? Am I giving you enough of my time? And they'll tell you what you need to let go of. So I think that's how you find the balance, is really taking time to step back and reevaluate every so often. Because like you said, with the coffee, even with coffee, it's easy to get out of hand. And I think that's a metaphor for our life too.
And just finally, you take outdoor cold showers. Mm-hmm. So tell me how you do that, and what are the benefits of cold showers?
Yeah. So one thing that I've learned in life is that we've become too kind of dependent on our modern living. You know, if we didn't have water heaters way back in the day, you just bathed in the creek, or you took a cold shower because there wasn't a water heater in your indoor plumbing in your home. And I like to look back at old books. Like, I love reading old nutrition manuals, not the new ones. So one of them I had read was called Return to Nature, and it was from 1903. And the gentleman was talking about the fact that one of the best things you could do for your system, your nervous system, was to take cold baths and to be in sunlight as well. To take sun and light air baths, I guess he would call it. So he wanted your whole body exposed. We don't do that. Like, we go get a suntan, but we've got a swimsuit on or shorts and a t-shirt when we're outside. We really need to expose our whole body. So my husband humors me in a lot of things because he thinks I'm a crazy weirdo, but he went along with the idea that I wanted to build an outdoor shower, if you will, or basically I called it like my little sun hut, where I could just have my space and I could, you know, not have any clothing on, and I could go out there and take a shower or just stand in the sunlight and not have to worry about it. We don't really have neighbors, but like, if the neighbors could drive by or something, it's a little sun hut behind my house. So anyway, yeah. So I just attached the hose back there. So it's freezing cold water that comes up from our well. And that's how I take a shower. And so I'm barefoot on the ground outside. I don't have like, you know, stepping stones or anything. I just want the ground. And it's just the way that I think the human body benefits the most. It's that cooled thermogenesis that helps the mitochondria of your cells, the little energy factories of your cells, but you're also getting the sunlight and the good UV rays that affect the mitochondria as well. And grounded, when your feet are connected to the earth, you're also getting that good resonance that the earth creates, which is 7.83 hertz. And your alpha brain waves are also 7.83 hertz, which is why you feel so good when you're barefoot on a grassy knoll or by the ocean. So coupling all those things together really makes me feel like I can discharge at the end of the day all of this EMF electrical energy and the blue light that we're exposed to. I can just stand on the earth, take a cold shower, and then get some sunlight on my skin as well.
Yeah, I love that. I take, I start with warm showers, but I always finish with cold. Beautiful. So I'll start with warm. And then in the last 30 seconds to a minute, I'll just go cold, even if it's in the middle of winter. And I found that's been beneficial. It may not be as beneficial as just getting in right at the beginning when it's cold, but it's like, ooh, as soon as that cold water hits, it's like, wow.
It's like a cup of coffee in the shower, right?
Well, Jodelle, thank you so much for your time. I so appreciate you sharing so much of your guidance and your support and just a glimpse into how you live your life. Just a reminder to our listeners, if you go to getfitwithjodelle.com, you can find Jodelle there. She also has a podcast, which is called Get Fit with Jodelle, which is available on YouTube and on iTunes. You can find her on YouTube at Jodelle Fit. That's J-O-D-E-L-L-E Fit. Thank you so much for being such a big proponent and supporter of Swannies. Thank you to your lovely daughter as well for posing in some of those Swannies at times as well. We appreciate that very much. And we just so appreciate you here at Swannie.
Oh, thank you so much, James. I appreciate you guys too. You're a big asset in what I like to promote. I only promote things I believe in, and I really believe in Swannies.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Swannic Podcast. If you liked what you heard, give us a subscribe, and while you're at it, forward it to a friend you think would benefit from hearing it too. You can find us on social media or at shopswannic.com.